Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Thursday, February 14th, 2013. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. Paying higher rates for electricity in Sitka won't be much fun, but spending that money on the largest public infrastructure project in city history sounds like, well, a blast. Staff in the Municipal Electric Department outlined the scope of the Blue Lake Hydro Expansion Project for the Sitka Chamber of Commerce on Wednesday. The work, while dangerous and expensive, is also a complicated engineering puzzle that is much more than a paycheck for the people designing and building it. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Dean Orbison is the engineer in the electrical department who is spearheading the effort to raise the Blue Lake Dam. He could barely contain his enthusiasm for the project. When the dam was first built a half century ago, the engineers at the time planned for it to one day be raised.
If you build the dam bigger than you need, you pay for it earlier than you want to. And so they said, let's design it so someone down the road can design it, can raise it another 23 feet, which is right up to here. And they designed it so that it could be done. And that's how we can pull this off.
Pull it off and then some. The new design calls for raising the dam 83 feet, 60 feet more than the builders intended. The completed dam will go to the very top of the canyon. This increased water height, or head, is where the increased power comes from, not from the increased amount of water in Blue Lake.
That's how you make the electricity. We're using the same amount of water that's fallen into the lake every year for the last 50 years. We're using the same water. All we're doing is using it at a higher elevation, so that we can generate more energy with it.
Construction began on November 1st. Orbison says we've been up there blowing up stuff since then. Crews have cleared and leveled a 2-acre site at the end of Blue Lake Road to stage construction materials and to assemble one very, very large piece of equipment.
This is the largest crane in the state of Alaska. This crane is it'll set on the right abutment here, and it will reach all the way across the dam to the left abutment. It is a huge, it's like something I've never seen before.
The crane is being hauled up the Blue Lake Road in pieces, each on its own flatbed truck. Orbison put up a picture of the operation. A worker standing on the ground is dwarfed by one of the crane's giant tracks. Besides the dam itself, crews will spend the next year constructing a new powerhouse to hold three new 5-megawatt turbines. The old powerhouse, with its pair of 3-megawatt turbines, will be converted into shop space. A new penstock, or pipeline, will connect the powerhouse to the rock tunnel that carries the water out of the lake. Upstream, crews will bore a new intake into the lake and connect it to the tunnel near where it emerges as a large pipeline in the Blue Lake campground. And those same miners are blasting a vertical shaft called a surge chamber through solid rock to the tunnel to absorb changes in pressure called water hammer when valves are closed in the powerhouse. In a new project, all this work could happen on a straight timeline, not so with Blue Lake. Except for a 2-month period in the fall of 2014 when water is diverted into the new powerhouse for testing, the old Blue Lake turbines will keep powering Sitka during the entire project. Managing power supply and construction at the same time is a big part of what Orbison called the game.
And so everything that we're doing here is determined not by when we can get the equipment delivered or when we get our act together on putting it in. It's controlled by the lake levels.
Orbison said that the electric department would impose a temporary rate hike during the planned outage in 2014 as a way of controlling demand. Using price in this way is a relatively recent development in Sitka. And while the Blue Lake project will provide relief from an overall power shortage here, Orbison suggested that the new supply of inexpensive power from Blue Lake was a windfall to be managed carefully.
If you convert your house from oil heat to electric heat, you can use up this project in a heartbeat. Our plan is to get you to do that for 20 years until it's gone, and then we'll cut you off. Right, Chris?
That's Orbison turning to Utility Director Christopher Bruton. Bruton and contract project manager Richard Linden also spoke to the chamber. Bruton referred to the Blue Lake expansion as a second chance for energy independence for Sitka. He hoped that 20 years from now, a future utility director would speak to the chamber and compliment citizens of today for their foresight in building the Blue Lake project, while also adopting the energy efficiency standards to make the project more than a short-term fix for unchecked growth in electric demand. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
The Sitka Assembly dealt with a variety of tourism issues on Tuesday. Members unanimously approved a contract for Sitka Tours to transport passengers between downtown and a private cruise ship dock near the end of Halibut Point Road. The contract is valued at roughly $35,000, and the money comes from a head tax imposed on visitors. They also voted 4-3 to have Mayor Mim McConnell represent the city at the cruise industry's annual trade show in Miami. It takes place in March. But the most discussion took place around the city's Seawalk project. Sitka has about $1.8 million to spend on the pathway, and as KCAW's Ed Ronco reports, the city is looking for someone to build it.
Meet Jay.
My name is Jay Legerschult.
He's visiting some family here.
I am from Omaha, Nebraska.
And today we have him participating in a little experiment. We've asked Jay to walk from Crescent Harbor to Sitka National Historical Park.
I can do that, I think.
He walks down the long sidewalk next to the harbor, looking at boats, until...
Sidewalk ends ahead.
So he cuts across the tennis courts.
Okay, from here, we're in the middle of a driveway. I guess we go across the street, the only sidewalk there is.
We head down another stretch of sidewalk, and after not too long...
Well, since the sidewalk ends on this side of the street, I guess we cross back over.
One more stretch of sidewalk.
Get here to the park. It is quite pretty.
And we've arrived at Sitka National Historical Park.
All right. Mission accomplished.
Okay.
That's good. Thank you. We can go back now.
Thousands of tourists take these steps every summer, and on Tuesday, Sitka took a big step of its own toward making the route a lot less complicated. Assembly members voted to start looking for a contractor to build the Sitka Seawalk. It's a wide pathway that will hug the shoreline. Eventually, it will stretch at least to O'Connell Bridge, but this part leads pedestrians from Crescent Harbor past the Sitka Sound Science Center and the Sheldon Jackson Museum and into the National Park without any interruptions. Lon Garrison is aquaculture director for the Science Center.
And I've had the opportunity the last 2 years to watch visitors as they come along the walkway get stymied right behind the playground and the tennis courts.
And in some cases attempt to climb across the rocks that line the harbor and the waterways leading past the Science Center.
And sometimes it's comical and sometimes it's darn right scary to watch those folks crawl around on those rocks.
At the assembly table Tuesday, Tor Christensen hoped that in addition to making the route easier, the Seawalk would help boost the city's struggling tourism industry.
Because we have to work harder to get people here than other cities. We're working very hard on trying to get more ships to come and do other things to come here, but we have to have something for them, an attractive city that they want to look at and come to, and I think this project really will do that.
City engineers estimate the project would take more than $6,000 a year to maintain, and that's where Assemblymember Pete Esquiro put up his red flag.
I am concerned about, the kinds of bills that we leave Thor's kids and my grandkids and others.
And that young guy on the assembly.
The young guys on the assembly.
Funding to build the project itself comes from grants, about $1.7 million from the state of Alaska and another $80,000 from the federal government. The design of the project is the result of no fewer than 5 public meetings since 2011 and 3 presentations from architects to the assembly. Once the assembly advertises for bids on the project, it will award a contract, and then work could begin as early as this summer. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Today is Valentine's Day, and a Sitka violence prevention group is celebrating with drums. KCAW's Ann Bryce reports.
Sitkins Against Family Violence Are Safe is inviting people to a women's drum performance on Thursday. It's part of V-Day, a worldwide call to action to stop violence against women and girls. It was started by Eve Ensler, the author of The Vagina Monologues. The event is called 1 Billion Rising. It hopes to inspire 1 billion women and those who love them to rise up, dance, and strike to demand an end to violence against women. 1 billion is the number of women in the world who will have been raped or beaten in their lifetime. Elena Gustafson works for SAFE and says V-Day chose dance for a reason. She quotes Eve Ensler here.
So dancing insists that we take up space. It has no set direction, but that we go there together. It breaks the rules. It can happen anywhere, at any time, with anyone. It can't be controlled. It joins us and pushes us to go further. It's contagious and spreads quickly. It's of the body, and it's transcendent.
Gustafson says everyone, including men, is encouraged to attend V-Day because violence against women isn't just a woman's issue, it's a human issue. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ann Bryce.
The V-Day drum performance and dance is at the Crescent Harbor Shelter from noon to 1 today. For more information, you can check out our website, kcaw.org. Bringing justice to all Alaskans. That was the major theme of State Chief Justice Dana Fabe's speech at the Capitol on Wednesday. Fabe stressed the importance of preventative approaches, like an early resolution process to help settle divorce cases quickly, to improve outcomes for both the participants involved and taxpayers.
Disputes resolved early are disputes that no longer fill our caseloads.
Fabe said that the Early Resolution Project has handled over 400 divorce cases in the past 2 years, with more than 80% settled in one proceeding. Fabe gave rural Alaska special attention. She spoke of the courthouse's opening in communities like Aniak and Hooper Bay, and efforts that the Alaska Judicial Branch has made in coordinating with tribal courts in domestic and youth cases. But the speech wasn't all congratulatory. Fabe said that the state still needs to ensure that justice isn't something delivered to villages by courts made of faraway strangers. She also said that there is a problem when Alaska Native men and women occupy a third of the state's prison beds.
When Alaska Native men and women occupy over a third of our prison beds, we are paying the costs. When Alaska Native children make up over half of our children in need of aid, we're paying the costs.
Every year, the head of the Alaska Supreme Court is required to provide the legislature with an update on the judiciary system. This was Fabe's seventh address to the legislature. And that's all for Raven News, KCAW, Sitka.